WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Monday edition of The Opening Bell. Disruptive behaviors in kindergarten associated with employment earnings. With employment earnings in adulthood for boys. We're talking about ages 30, maybe, to 36, 35 to 36. The latest study information is out on this. We're happy to have with us Francis Vergens, postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Montreal, the research unit on children's psychological maladjustment. Francis, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Hi, thanks for having me on the program.
I want to talk a little bit about the overall findings of this. What kind of behaviors, disruptive behaviors, are we talking about?
Okay, so we're talking about inattention or the ability to pay attention, particularly in a classroom setting. So all these behaviors were rated by teachers when the children were aged 6 years. And the key ingredient here that seems to be linked to lower earnings 3 decades later is inattention. And that was assessed based on traits like the child is distracted, has his head in the cloud, cannot pay attention to classroom tasks for very long. And then the other interesting finding was that we also found pro-social behaviors. So traits like whether the child's helpful, they support other children when they're upset, they're considerate, they share their classroom materials. Those kinds of positive pro-social behaviors were associated with higher earnings at age 35, 36.
Those are the two.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, no, I was just going to say that, and the study here has been following these kids for 30 years, right?
That's right, yeah. So the study was started in the early 1980s, and these kids were interviewed for the first time in 1984 when they were in kindergarten. And then they were followed up each year and assessed on a wide range of behavioral and social and cognitive assessments. And one of the things we do in the study as well is we also try to control for other background factors, things like the child's intelligence and the family socioeconomic status.
And when you say that, what do you mean by that?
You might find that children who have high who are inattentive earn less when they're older, but that might simply be a correlation between intelligence and attention. And so what we're saying is that if you subtract inattention, if you subtract IQ or intelligence out of the equation, we still find that attention is an important predictor of future earnings.
So, Francis, what is the study? What has it given us in terms of information to perhaps change the scenario as young people grow and become earners?
Yeah. So I think one of the things of important implications to think about is that we shouldn't necessarily say that, you know, parents need to rush out and tell the kids to pay attention and be nice so that they can earn more money. I mean, there are other good reasons to pay attention and be nice, of course. But what we're saying is that the least well-off kids, the kids that have the most problems paying attention and the kids with the sort of lowest levels of pro-sociality, they're the ones who we should try to target with interventions and support and in a way bring up that floor for those most disadvantaged kids.
Yeah, and so then the teacher ratings are important here as well. The message, the learning part of this for them would be what?
So kindergarten is a good time to start screening. Teachers have a really relatively good sense of behavioral problems like inattention, hyperactivity, aggression. It also allows, since most kids attend kindergarten, it also allows for almost population-wide screening. And so they can start to identify children who have early behavioral problems, particularly inattention, mark them for potential support and intervention if necessary.
I know there's a lot of attention paid to, you know, how we perhaps medicate children when they have these disorders. How does that play into all of this?
I mean, if it were appropriate, depending on the particular the child and the context, If they have a formal diagnosis of, say, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, then you might want to consider medication in those cases. There are also a wide range of other interventions, including school and home and family interventions that can also be considered and have all been shown to be effective. So it's a sort of a case-by-case basis, but what we're saying, at least in essence, is that at age 6 years, a trait like inattention seems to be one of the strongest predictors of subsequent earnings, independent of traits like hyperactivity and aggression and opposition.
What were the earnings differences in between the two groups of the higher and the lower ends of these?
So when we split them, we split each behavior into four quarters. So the lowest, second lowest, third lowest, and then the highest. And we found there's roughly a $17,000 difference in earnings per annum for those children. So the kids with the lowest levels of attention earn $17,000 less than the kids with the highest levels.
As this new information comes from the research here that's been now ongoing for 30 years, are there more questions? What would you like to answer now? What would you like to be the focus of research now involving this topic?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a couple of things. One is this, and it's a limitation of the study that's important to highlight. It focuses on boys from low-income backgrounds, and so we need to conduct further research, which is currently ongoing, that includes population-wide samples of boys and girls. And so that's critical. So we need to see whether these findings generalize to girls as well, to women. Wow. Another thing we want to work on is to try to understand the mechanisms or the pathways through which these effects occur. So a study like this is an association study. We just say that there's an association between the behaviors at age six and subsequent earnings. But it doesn't mean the behaviors at age six cause higher or lower earnings. There's all kinds of events that could have occurred from age six onwards up to age 35, 36. And that includes things like how the kids get on with their peers, how well they perform at school, whether they get a high school and university education. And so we want to try to unpack that a little bit and look at the kinds of factors that, what we call in research, the mediating factors that explain the relationship between behavior at age six and earnings at age 36.
All right. Francis, thank you very much for being with us this morning. Good information. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Francis Vergenst, a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Montreal in the research unit on children's psychological maladjustment. We will post a link to the study information with the podcast of The Opening Bell a little bit later on this morning. Again, we apologize for our technical difficulties getting that interview on the air.